This is the Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Well, why don't you just tell my listeners what you're telling me? Your name's Dave, right?
Oh, yes, sir.
Okay, Dave.
Mr. Ernie, by the way, I think your show is great, man. We listen to you at L.A. Mission College, which is where I take law enforcement, because I'm studying to eventually become LAPD, Los Angeles Police Department.
Good for you, man. Good for you.
Thank you.
All right, just tell the audience what you're talking about Chelsea Clinton, because I know that Chelsea Clinton is out on break from Oxford, and she's in New York and, you know, having a few drinks.
Well, I heard your comments about Chelsea Clinton being out and, you know, partying and stuff and going to bars. And I think it's the influence, in a lot of ways, I think it's the influence of the Bush twins, okay?
You think it's the influence of the Bush twins?
Well, and the fact that they were getting all that publicity, yeah. Drinking and doing whatever they wanted on the beach in Texas. And I just wanted to, if I could, use your show, you know, to make an appeal to Chelsea Clinton. I don't even know if she's listening or...
I highly doubt that Chelsea Clinton's listening to my show, man. But if you want to make a pitch to her, go ahead.
Well, I just want to say, I wanted to say, Chelsea, I think that, first of all, I think you're a good-looking girl. And I just want to say, don't do it, man. I mean, don't go down, you know, forgive me, Mr. Henry, but don't go down that skank road, man, that the Bush twins are going down. I mean, they made their bed. They can't even walk by the front door of a Senior Frogs without, like, showing every guy at the pool table what color their panties are or something, you know. They go to TGI Fridays or to Senior Frogs, too. Like, their dress goes over their head. They go, woo, woo, check out my stuff, you know. It is disgusting, man, and it's not what you want to do. And I think you're the daughter of the ex-president of the United States. You went to Stanford. You have gone now to Oxford, too. Why, for, you want to go down the skank road?
And all right, Dave, hold on for a minute, okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, what do you mean, go down the skank road? I mean, that is a very loaded phrase, isn't it?
Well, I mean, everybody reads the newspaper. First of all, I want to say President Bush is a great president. What he has done in Afghanistan for America, man, it is the best, man. But I got to tell you something. I will always support him, but you got to admit, when it comes to being a dad, he's not as good as Bill Clinton was, because look at Chelsea. She's way, way more educated. She's way, way more, she's not, like, skanked up or, like, you know, just all stank. She's a,
what are you talking about, stank?
I mean, like, the Bush twins.
Let's just slow down for a minute, okay? Just slow down. The Bush twins. You mean, what are their names?
Jenna and Barbara.
Okay. Those are the two ones that got popped for, you know, drinking.
Yeah, I mean, last summer, man, that was, like, disgusting to read that about the daughters of the President of America, of the United States, okay? Every time you open up a newspaper, there's a story about Jenna Bush, you know, lifting her head up of some congealed vomit on her pillow, or Barbara Bush.
I don't remember any story about congealed vomit, okay?
Well, I mean, you know, man, if they're doing shooters, man, they're popping. They went into a Senior Frogs, a friend of mine said, in Cancun, Mexico, okay, because a friend of mine was down there at spring break, okay? They go into Senior Frogs, they're doing body shots with, like, guys they've never met before, sucking body shots right off their thigh, right up near the wax line. Dude, they're not called the Bush twins for nothing, man. And a lot of the things that I'm...
Okay, look. They're not called the Bush twins for nothing. The fact is...
Well, they're not. And Mr. Henry, if they're the daughters of the President of the United States, and they're puking up, like, nacho chip and shrimp appetizer and deep-fried zucchini and calamari all over the door, man, Chelsea Clinton, I am saying, please, Chelsea, please don't go down no stank road. Because once a girl goes down the stank road, man, it's just, it's stank everywhere.
All right.
They went into a mango cafe down in South Beach, Florida, okay? They take the sticks from the marimba player and they're playing drums on the waitress's on a waitress's butt. Did you hear about that?
No, I did not.
Yes, sir.
No, I did not. Where did you hear about it?
I read about it in the Miami Herald, sir.
What are you doing reading the Miami Herald?
I do research for my class.
The Bush twins went into the Mango Cafe in South Beach, Miami, took the sticks from the marimba player, and were banging them on the waitress's rear end.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's what I understand happened. Yes, sir. And you'd never, never, not never, no see Chelsea Clinton do that. So I'm just saying, as an admirer to Chelsea Clinton, I'm saying, don't do it, man. Don't do it, man. She's already going to parties. She's already going drinking. Don't do it, man. Don't ever go. Man, once you go down Stink Road, it's a...
Well, I don't know what Stink Road is.
Well, it's, you know...
Let me give our phone number out here, Dave. You're a big admirer of Chelsea Clinton's?
I think she's a good daughter, good first daughter, yeah.
All right, our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Why do you think Chelsea Clinton is trying to emulate the Bush twins? She's going out. She's on break from her classes at Oxford. She's in New York. She's dancing.
Well, she never did it before. And that's very unusual for a young lady all of a sudden to start to dance when she never did it before.
Well, maybe it was because she was the daughter of a president and couldn't get out and do those things. And now that her father is no longer in office, she has a little bit of freedom?
No, sir, I don't think so. I think Chelsea Clinton was always the epitome of class. She was always a young lady who held herself very dignified and like that. And regardless of what her father did, Chelsea Clinton, and now President Bush, who I think is a great president, but you have to admit he's not as good a father.
Well, that's another thing. You're saying President Bush is not as good a father as President Clinton was. The fact is that President Bush has his own set of challenges.
Well, I don't know. I mean, look, all I have to say, Mr. Henry, is that I think Chelsea Clinton, as you probably can tell, I'm Mexican-American, okay? And I will tell you that the Mexican-American woman is the best-looking woman in the world. But Chelsea Clinton, unlike the Bush twins, she's right up there. And it won't be long now before the Bush twins are going to be pumping Aquanet on their hair, super gluing on them purple nails, taking a paint roller with purple lipstick to their lips, hanging out with Raiders games like dating Tyrone Wheatley and people like that, man. What's wrong with you, man? So if anybody wants to say President Bush has been a great president, I would say, yeah, he has, except for the Bush twins, which are skanky and like doing that hoochie mama thing, which your dad kept you from doing, Chelsea. I'd like to say, President Bush was only in office a week, and his girls were bending over mechanical bulls and stuff. God damn, man. I mean,
all right, you got a thing about Chelsea Clinton, don't you?
Just the two Bush kids got way more press and are more popular than Chelsea. That's why she's doing it.
All right, well, if Chelsea's looking for some ink, that's the wrong way to go about doing it, acting like the Bush twins.
Well, that's what I'm trying to say. Just because your dad is a good president, Bush twins, don't mean he's a good dad, especially if he's got you guys doing the hoochie mama thing with the Aquanet. And
look, I don't see any of the Bush twins putting can after can of Aquanet in their hair, all right? And what do you mean, hoochie mama?
Well, won't be long now, man. Won't be long now, man.
I mean...
It won't be long now, man.
It won't be long now?
No, it won't be long.
1-800-449-8686. Is Chelsea Clinton trying to emulate the Bush twins by going out partying and throwing her skirt up over her head? I didn't even read anywhere where they did that.
Well, I mean, those two twins, man, every Secret Service agent that ever was with them, they probably went to bed with, because that's just the way they are. You can tell, especially if you look at the fat one. You know.
Hold on for a minute, man. If you look at the fat one. 1-800-449-8686. Is Chelsea Clinton going to go down the same road as the Bush twins and become a hoochie mama? Or is she just going out and having herself a good time? And have the Bush twins set a bad example for Chelsea Clinton? And on top of all of that, is Bill Clinton a better father than George Bush, which is what our caller Dave is intimating, because his daughter didn't turn out... She's not walking by Senior Frog showing the color of her panties to everybody. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
One 800-449-8686. And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
1-800-449-8686. The number here. Dave is with us, and Chelsea Clinton is turned up in New York. She's out doing she's doing her thing, whatever the hell that is. She's out drinking. She's partying. You say it's the Bush twins' influence, right?
Yeah, yes, I do, sir.
Well, what makes you think she's going to turn into a juice hound or into a party girl like the Bush twins?
I don't know. I mean, maybe she just wants the notoriety, but I think the Bush twins, the problem with them is that they never had, you know, a man that could, I guess, straighten them out, you know, give them a just a good straightening out. You know, I think probably in the life of the Bush twins, they've hung around a lot of, and I don't mean to say nothing, but a lot of Anglo guys, you know, who are good guys and everything, but I'm Hispanic, and we, you know, we don't let our women get too far out of hand, you know.
Well, what does that mean? I mean, how do you keep a woman from going out and partying?
You tell her. I mean, it's very easy. You say her, I am the man, you're the woman. From this point forward, you will be in this home, and you will not be a disgrace to this home at all. You will not drink, like, pitching up, like, nacho remnants and stuff all over the pillow. You hide the Aquanet, man. Do whatever you have to do. Take the purple fingernails out of there. But you look her in the eye and you say, you will not go out and be a disgrace to your family.
And that's what the Bush twins need.
That's what the Bush twins need, like a man like me. You know, a man like me to find out, you know, how to keep them, you know, on the straight and narrow. I could do that for Chelsea Clinton, too. But right now, I'm still trying to get my degree, you know, and eventually be LAPD.
Looks like the Bush twins have been cool, man. I haven't heard about them being arrested lately.
Yeah, I know, but they may be in rehab or something.
Yeah, that's it. They're in rehab.
They could be. They're probably at the Betty Friedan Clinic or something. Or
the Betty Friedan Clinic?
Well, I don't know where it is, man. They're probably over there right now sweeping up. That's what they do. They put them celebrities over to the Betty Ford Clinic. They have them sweep up, you know, and probably right now, Barbara Bush and that Jenna Bush, they're probably sweeping up, you know, right after arts and crafts class. They'd sit them down and they say, hey, you hoochie mamas, man, you drinking on the beach and everything, shooting down shots of tequila or like that. You ain't no drink no more, man. You can have a tuna fish sandwich. You get a cup of tea or a cup of coffee. Go out back, have a cigarette, man, and sweep up. Chelsea's trying to get some attention to get her mother to be nominated for president. Hey, if a drunk kid worked for Bush, why not for Hillary?
It wasn't President Bush's drunk kids that got him.
Well, you know what I mean, man. But if you go over to Betty Ford Clinic, man, they have you sweep up.
Yeah, I know.
Hey, man. Did you know that that's where Elizabeth Taylor met Larry Fortensky? They were sweeping up? I swear to God, man.
And no, they weren't.
Yes, they were, man. Bull crap. I'm sure, man. Right now, Jenna Bush is over at the Betty Friedan Clinic, chain-smoking, rocking back and forth on a bench, going, oh, man, I need a drink. I need a drink, man. Yeah, but anyway,
well, what's that got to do with Elizabeth Taylor and Larry Fortensky?
Because she walked by one day, and Fortensky's sweeping up. Like with drool and stuff coming out of his mouth. She goes, hey, man, you know, we get your teeth fixed, you lose about 50 pounds. You look good.
All right, man. Well, good luck with whatever the hell it is that you do with your life, okay?
I got an auto detailing business right now, but I also one day want to be LAPD.
Okay, good for you, dude. Let's hope you're never over at the Betty Ford Clinic sweeping up, huh?
No, man, I ain't going to sweep up. But I do have to sweep my shop out, man, because it's end of the business day.
Okay, good.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
This guy's got to be kidding.
Are you joking around?
How about doing what, sir?
Are you joking with us?
You got to be.
Mr. Hendry, I filed a lawsuit.
You have
to be. I filed a lawsuit in district court in Riverside County, California. Do you think I'm joking?
Fantastic. You know what's going to happen when you go to court? They're going to laugh at you. They're going to come after you with a net and put it over you.
Are you saying that I'm nuts?
You better believe you're nuts.
How do you figure I'm nuts after
because
I've said
you know
everything?
Nothing about the dogs. You come out with stupid, stupid statements that it just comes from ignorance. Hey, let me tell you something. The dogs are pretty dumb. The only one that's dumber than the dogs is you.
Oh, so now you got the last guy.
The dogs to climb up. Come on, you know, you got to be kidding.
I'm trying to say that you're not kidding. The last guy calls up this program, gets his cuties off. Now you're getting your
jollies
off, okay?
I'm telling you the truth. I'm trying to help you.
How can a man be stupider than a dog?
I'm trying to help you.
How can a man?
You go to court and you start giving that thing, they're going to put a blanket over you.
I mean, look, Steve, seriously, the judge may have you remanded for some kind of a psychiatric evaluation.
You better
believe it. Okay, all right. So, in other words, a man
is the meekest dogs in the world.
What are?
The Afghans are the meekest dogs in the world.
Let me tell you what the Bible
and they
says.
They stare at you. What do you want them to do?
Let me tell you what the Bible says. The meek
you know
will inherit the earth.
You know what?
Man.
Listen, forget
That's
about the Bible.
That's called worldwide global revelation.
I think you're nuts.
If
I think
I'm nuts,
that you really need
if
some
I'm nuts,
psychiatric help.
All right, if I'm
and
nuts,
you scared your kids and you scared your wife. Come on, why don't
yes.
you be a man?
That's the worst part.
Let me ask both you guys something. If I'm nuts, why
you're
is
nuts.
That thing staring at me while I'm watching TV?
You're nuts. You know why?
Why is it staring at me?
Because it's never seen anybody that's stupider than they are. That's why it's looking at you. It can't believe
okay.
that
so you want to get a couple
like
of jollies
up. Walking up on two legs. That's why it's staring. It can't believe it.
Mr. Andrew,
you
want
to go and you want to find
well, I mean,
out.
The guy
find
is...
out about the dogs.
Okay.
Sir, this is so ridiculous. I can't believe that you're really talking that
sir,
way.
Sir, a cat will stare at you, and I don't like it, but I know cats stare because rude. They're rude, and everybody knows a cat's rude as hell. But
a dog
is not rude.
Do yourself a favor and your kids, and go have your head checked out because. You know, you're talking from your rear end.
Look, at cats stare.
Fact,
and
you're
what do you
a
mean?
Joke.
Cats are not rude. Cats just stare.
Cats are the rudest GD things I've ever seen. Oh, yeah, look at him laugh. You make love to your wife or you do anything like that, a cat will get up on the bed and stare at you.
You know why?
What?
Because it's because it's taking pictures.
Okay, you could both go straight to hell.
Bill Hendricks.
Now, that was Steve Bozell. Did you hear the latest on the G. Gordon Liddy show today? He was talking about lawsuits, frivolous lawsuits, and his producer found a bunch of frivolous lawsuits that were an example of the abuse of the American judicial system. The only problem is that the examples that this individual found and that Mr. Liddy was reading on his show were lawsuits that had been filed by Steve Bozell. Well, as we all know, Steve Bozell is a made-up guy. And I'm the guy that does his voice, and I made up those lawsuits. Is it against the federal regulations of the communications of this country to play back portions of another guy's show? Oh, it is? Okay, well, forget it. Then you'll never hear it on our show. But rest assured, we were told the very first portion of our program today by many callers that Mr. Liddy was on his show today talking about the lawsuits of Steve Bozell, even quoted him by name. Mentioned him by name, said he was a construction contractor from Corona, California, and he's on his program talking about what a load all of these lawsuits are, and isn't that an example of the frivolous nature and abuse of the judicial system of this country? Well, yes, it is. The only problem is I invented those lawsuits as a satirization of the abuse of the judicial system of this country, not as the very literal fact of it. Something's got to be done about these talk show hosts that are getting on the air, pretending like they're doing serious news talk, acting like they care about you and they care about me and they care about the whole direction of the country, when all they're trying to do is get through an hour of radio when they don't have any phone calls on the board and they got to read something, so let's just pull something off of Phil's website. Let's get something off of Henry's website and read it, because we couldn't buy a call if we had all the gold in Fort Knox. Am I angry? No, I'm just kidding around. I'm very flattered by it. I think it's hysterical, man. I'd love to hear it. Even though we can't play it on the show, I'd love to hear it. This ain't the first time this has happened either. It's happened numerous times on a variety of radio shows across this country. They heard about something we did on our show, and they thought it was real. I'll tell you what happened. I read it when the New York Times came out here and interviewed me. I didn't know this, but Jack Hitt was the writer. He mentioned at the very end of the article some radio show he was listening to where the host was talking about something we'd done on our show. Only the host of the show thought it was real and said that this was an example of how stupid Americans were, right? The guy didn't know that it was shtick. This is what happens when you use the internet as your only source of news and information. You're just pulling anything off of there. You could be pulling something off of our website. And if you're pulling anything off our website, believe me, you're pulling it. You're pulling it in more ways than one, my man. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Don't forget, our website is philhenryshow.com. If G. Gordon Liddy's listening right now, you can go on there, man, and pull some material off of there. And also, pick up that Best of the Phil Henry Show Year 2001 CD. It's only $20, $350 shipping and handling. And the money goes to my friend's place, a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood.
1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
200 Marines are arriving in the coast area of eastern Afghanistan Wednesday after tribal elders decided they could not hand over a fugitive teenager suspected of killing a U.S. soldier. Campaign in Afghanistan is like nothing I've ever seen. This isn't a war. It's Dragnet, man. It's just it's like a huge multi-million dollar episode of Cops, where they're just hunting guys down in caves. Instead of walking up to a trailer with a thing going 51-23, they're going up to a cave.
What do you want,
Mr. Bin Laden?
No, he's not here right now.
Bull crap! Open up.
What do you mean open up? It's a cave.
Oh, I'm sorry. What do you mean he's not here right now?
No, he left.
Well, we have information. Come on out of there. Come on out. All right, you've been drinking tonight, Mr. Bin Laden? What if an episode of Cops and they knock on the thing and it's Bin Laden at the door?
I don't know, you know, she's just,
Wait a minute, I recognize you. Never mind, where's your wife?
Well, she's inside, man. She's been drinking and I went down to get the propane tank filled up and now look at her.
Yeah, I understand, sir. You are familiar. Never mind. Here's Tim on the Phil Hendry Show. Tim?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Two other times that the right wing has tripped over your little booby traps on their playground. One was right before the election. Larry Grover was on from Conservatives of Kern County making a complete ass of himself in the Republican Party. You got a panicked call from a woman in Austin. Roll Call Magazine reported that was Karen Hughes calling in trying to disavow a supposed Republican on your show.
Now tell me, Tim, who is Karen Hughes?
She's a counselor to the president now. She was his campaign communications director.
And she was calling from Austin, Texas?
Desperately after receiving a lot of high-level phone calls that this guy was on the air, I guess on KFI in L.A., making a fool out of the Republicans, and the election was going to be so close anyway.
Oh, my God.
There's another one even more delicious to me because Rupert Murdoch funded this Weekly Standard magazine to promote the whole right-wing agenda, Gingrich and all that.
I think this is the one that Jack Hitt mentioned in the New York Times. But go ahead.
Yeah, they sent their most smarty pants reporter down to cover the ballot recount in Florida, and he opened up his coverage of that with a couple of smart-alecky paragraphs about driving his convertible down the Oceanfront Drive, listening to a talk radio caller named Dave Olivaugh, and how ignorant the guy was, and if this is any example of the brilliant voters of South Florida. And a letter writer wrote in a few weeks later and told them how they'd been chumped by the brilliant Phil Hendry.
So they printed it in their magazine?
Yeah, they did. As a matter of fact, the letter was even better written than and it was Marty Pants writer's story, and it really paid.
And it was from Tim in Fort Lauderdale. Thank
great
you for writing
that. No, it wasn't me.
No, okay. Oh, well, that's at least I give them some points for printing the letter and say, well, you know, we did this on our show. But Karen Hughes, counselor to the president, panically called our show, huh?
Yeah, trying to disavow Larry Grover, who was making an absolute ass out of the Republicans in the week before the election.
And this was in Roll Call, which is isn't that the magazine on Capitol Hill?
Weekly newspaper on Inside Politics on Capitol Hill.
Would you save this stuff? When was this printed?
I could probably go back and find it. I just saw it on a newsstand at Barnes & Noble. But,
why don't I put you on hold and you can and Tim or Chris will give you a fax number or an email. Can you do that,
I'd like
man?
To say one thing.
Yeah, go ahead.
You said a few months ago that one of your goals, intentionally or not, was that you were going to deconstruct talk radio.
Yes.
And I want to say more power to you, man, because the right wing has been able to seize power and roll back progress in this country using AM talk radio. And I think you may be our secret weapon against
that. Well, the problem with what's happening on AM radio stations across the country is that they are no longer music mediums, so they have to use non-music programming. And that means they go to the talk radio format. Older listeners traditionally use AM. Younger listeners traditionally use FM. So you throw a show like mine on an AM station, and you've got a lot of older listeners listening to it. Well, maybe it's having more impact than not, so we'll see.
More power to you, Phil.
I'm not so much against the right wing or the left wing or anybody else. I'm very anti-media and extremely anti-talk radio. So that's why any chance we get to turn the thing on its head and make people look stupid is a lot of fun. I mean, I look stupid Just about every day I get out of bed and check myself out in the mirror when I haven't lost that pound that I thought I did. I look stupid. So, you know, you sit on a king-size bed, man, and your penis looks a lot smaller than you thought it was. So in life, my friend, in life.
Well, my idea of comedy, what made me laugh the hardest in my life was original Saturday Night Live, Kids in the Hall, and In Living Color.
Yeah,
and
good
only
shows.
After that was Phil Hendry.
Well,
and
thank
that's
you.
It.
Okay, Tim, thanks. I'm going to put you on hold and talk to Chris, will you?
Thank you.
Thank you. Get a load of that. Who says this show is a pile of rubbish that has absolutely no impact in the halls of the hallowed halls of leadership in our country? Not that we expected it to. One time we had a congressman call and we made fun of the fact that he had prostate cancer. I didn't think that that was really a high note for this show, but it was funny. Another time. No, so Karen Hughes, counselor for the president, called this show in a panic. This is being alleged now by my caller, Tim, who is quoting Roll Call magazine. And then Rupert Murdoch's Weekly Standard, huh? Well, since we do have a tie-in with Fox downstairs, their sports network is very much in evidence here at our broadcast facility. I won't make any comment other than, Mr. Murdoch, you're a terrific guy, and I didn't know you were so wealthy. I'm just kidding. Like he knew, huh? Okay, 1-800-449-8686. Here is Stuart on the Phil Hendry Show. Stuart?
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine.
Hey, I was just wondering, you've probably been asked this before, but I heard a while ago you talking about you were going to do something on a TV show, and I don't know if that ever fell through or not, and I was wondering if you were just set on radio or whether or not you ever wanted to expand your horizons and maybe do a little bit of TV, and I just want to know what you're
talking about. What do you mean a TV show? Like a news show?
Anything, I mean, you know, like a comedy show or something like that, maybe expand your horizons a little bit, or... Not that your horizons aren't expanded enough, but I'm just, you know, just wondering if you had any interest in doing TV or you're just going to stick with radio.
I don't know. I don't know. Radio lets me get away with quite a bit. Television,
yeah, it does.
Television won't let you get away with one-tenth of what you can do on radio. And I think the reason why we are able to do some of the things we do is because you have to fill 3 hours of programming a day, and you pretty much just got to jam everything you can on the air. You couldn't get away with a lot of this stuff on TV. I can't imagine being afforded any kind of creative control in a television situation where I could have any fun, where I could really have some fun.
Yeah, plus it's hard to...
But I am planning on auditioning for Baywatch since Jasmine Bleeth is out, and... Go ahead.
Yeah, well, hey, I want to do an can I do an impersonation for you and have you tell me how you think I'm doing?
Now everybody's saying no.
But wait a minute.
1-800-4- he started to break into it anyway. Did you hear that? 1-800-449-8686. Dave, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
I'm a fan of the G. Gordon Liddy Show, but unfortunately, I didn't get to hear that bit today. I was at work and couldn't hear it. I want you to know I'm a bigger fan of yours since I heard you during the O.J. trial while I was driving my patrol car down the road in the Keys when I was a cop.
Oh, okay.
And I've been a huge fan since then.
Oh, thank you.
What I wanted to tell you was I have heard a major, major national radio host that has a talk show take bits that you have done and turn them into, I guess you would call them, set-up calls that are an exact copy of something I had heard on your show a few days earlier.
Now, let me ask you something. They're taking the exact material?
Exactly.
And they're doing a phony guest?
A phony call.
And then are they getting people to call in?
Yes, and the other callers, just like callers call and argue with your character that you're doing,
yeah.
They're arguing with this caller, which I realized had to be a setup call,
yeah.
Because the whole story, as it unfolded, and they unfolded, let a little bit out of the bag at a time, just yeah. Like you do.
Are the initials of this major host HS?
Yes, they are.
Yeah, well,
and
if what
so
you're saying
you know,
is true,
sir,
I'm
was,
bitterly...
Ted Bell was complaining he had been, for lack of a better term, anally violated by his wife.
Right, and so a few days later, there's the HS show running that.
Yeah, running that, and the guy says, I'm afraid I'm going to turn, and unfolded it at the same speed at which Ted Bell has.
Well, if what you're saying is true, I'm bitterly disappointed, because that individual I thought was I don't want to call a fan of my show, but he appreciated the show. He'd been in to watch our show. and has certainly been considered to be one of the leading creative people in our medium. And for him to start lifting material from me, that's got to be the beginning of the end. I mean, the beginning of the end. Hang it up. Just hang it up. Retreat to the million-dollar apartment. Just have a coffee clutch there with Regis in the elevator or whatever it is that you do. But if you got to start lifting material from me, and I'm just every day I'm scratching out a living here, and I got that guy, you know what I want to do? I'm going to go get a gun, and I'm going to kill somebody. No, I'm kidding. I think I'll go and kill myself. Nah, that's no good. I'll kill Craig. Listen, Dave, thanks for that.
All right. Love your show.
All right, man.
Bye.
Bye. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
I was talking to Janice. I said, you know, the best material is material that you bring from your own life. When you come to the radio, the best material is material that perhaps you found at your home, watching your wife, your kids, your friends. For instance, the DDR 2000 bit that we did with R.C. Collins is directly out of my life. That is something that we're dealing with right now, getting an arcade game for one of our kids. And, well, let's take, for example, a classic, an instant classic, the show where Ted Bell thought that his wife was violating him in a almost raping him because she tried to put her finger up his rear end. Why, that came right out of Janice's life. And another thing, I'm joking. Well, you did bring it in that day, remember? Janice comes in, I got a great idea. A guy's wife takes her finger and sticks it up his... All right, here's something I would like to talk about. Forgive me, but I must. I've been hearing a lot of talk lately about John Ashcroft and whether or not he's stripping away our civil liberties. And I've been hearing discussion, and it's very luxurious discussion. You know that times are good. Times have never been better when you can actually afford a discussion of whether or not our civil liberties are being eroded in the middle of a war, when your country's fighting a war. Nowhere else in the history of the world, at no other time, in no other country but this one, could that conversation take place. Now, this is coming from your pal, Phil the Democrat. Okay, just so we know where we all stand. I'm driving home the other night, and I'm listening to some lawyer on a radio show that, well, let's just say it's on the FM dial way down at the left end, and listen to a guy that ordinarily I probably would have thought was pretty brilliant, was making some interesting legal points, was making some very salient points about what is civil liberty and can we be sure we can retain it in the middle of a sort of a militaristic push toward solving a problem. And ordinarily, I'd probably give the guy the time of day. I'm listening to these people engaged in the single most, the most indulgent conversation. I bet you the people I'm listening to right now don't even understand, can't even hear what it is they're doing. They're talking about whether, are our civil liberties being slowly stripped away? The fascism of America and John Ashcroft. Why, a military tribunal? It's not even a military tribunal. It's a military commission. And that means that it's not even within the framework of the Constitution. And they're having this discussion on a radio station in America. And it's going out over the airways, and not only that, it's right in the middle of a war that we're fighting, Charlie. I just want to say this right now. John Ashcroft, you're all right with me, baby. I love you, babe. You're okay with me. Round them all up. All 3,000 of those Syrian, whatever the hell they are. There's some guys in the country right now that he wants to deport. Oh, that's really a shock. How come? Because they're here illegally? Well, how dare you, you Nazi. How dare you deport people that are here illegally? What a Nazi. These guys come from countries that are enemy states. Their visas have expired. They're between the ages of 18 and 33. They are within the profile, if you'll pardon the expression, of the individuals that butchered up 3,000 Americans. What we'd like to do is round them up and kick them out. I say, bully. Jolly good show. Nobody said anything about an internment camp. Nobody said anything about that. Oh, you mean like sending these guys back to their homeland is the same thing as sending them to an internment camp? Well, it's something they're going to have to sweat. I don't know what the problem is. I mean, too bad for you, Omar. If you got to go back to Syria, or you got to go back to that bastion of just the, what a great place to live, man, the Middle East. What a, just talk about scenic and lovely. I'm sure the food's good, and I bet you it smells great over there. If you got to go back over there, and that's like going to an internment camp, well, maybe you got a few rocking and rolling to do over there, man, not here. And I'm reading all these articles, even one in Rolling Stone, about, you know, recent war protests and, you know, the unpopular stuff that Ashcroft's doing with the... This is a war. This is a country that's at war. America. Did you hear about it? They flew a couple of planes into the World Trade Center and another one into the Pentagon. They butchered 3,000 people. They murdered... Did you hear about it? Maybe you picked up a newspaper? Or maybe you'd like them to fly another one into another building. I bet you that'd get your attention. So if that means we got to have military tribunals, if that means that we have to have extended detention, if that means that there has to be a certain level of martial law imposed upon the country, that's the way it works in a war. That's exactly how it works. Sometimes your civil liberties get suspended a little bit. Now, if it applies to me, of course, all bets are off. Then I'll say something about it. But as long as it's just your civil liberties, I don't give a sweet crap, especially if you're an Arab. Now, what do you think about that? Jam that in your pipe and torch it. Somebody tells this Mick that he can't say anything. I'm freckle-faced, blue-eyed, red-headed, white boy. Then I'm going to be upset. But some dark-skinned Arab, like my good friend Brian here, although I'm sure he's Jewish, he looks like an Arab. I don't care. I'm joking, Brian. I don't know what the hell. Who cares? Like my good buddy Ronnie Rubin over there at K-West all those years ago, everybody thought he was an Iranian during the hostage crisis. Ronnie's Jewish. He's got the curly hair and everything with the beard. He says, geez, how about that? I got to put sandbags in front of my house because my dumbass neighbor thinks I'm an Iranian. And until such time as we're able to root out these guys and do whatever it is we have to do to make sure that our country is not threatened, we're just going to have to do it, and you're going to have to sit there and suck on it. It'd be so cool if what I said is the final word, but I know that it ain't going to happen. I mean, it's, you know, people will continue to bellyache about it. That's, you know, it's a great country, man. We can talk about that stuff. Just so you know, I think what Ashcroft's doing is beautiful. What's some of the other draconian things he's doing? I really love it. All his stuff at the airports is fantastic. Patting people down. They strip searched a congressman the other day. How can you not like that? I mean, they had his butt cheeks spread, and they had a freaking Klieg light up there. Oh, you got anything up there, congressman? What the hell are you guys? Yeah, look at that. Looks like a bomb to me. Some guy rolled over in first class and tried to light one of his farts. They wrestled him to the ground. Why? It's a possible explosive. I don't know. But you can't be too sure. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.